gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Always delightful when I drag my ass in here after a sexy living room weekend.
But you were in the
Zero sleep, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going on zero sleep.
But you were in the Florida sunshine.
Oh, listen, more importantly than that.
What?
I was in the magical aura of Alan Grayson. Oh.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, my God.
He could not be more adorable and cuddly.
Yeah. He
Alan
loves
Grace,
you.
Oh, God, I love him so much. I go from gay to questioning every time I'm around him. He's
What does the lovely and talented Mrs. Grayson think of that?
She wasn't there.
Oh.
Back in Orlando.
What happens in Orlando stays in Orlando, apparently.
I'm sure she was with the Grayson children.
Yes. All five. All right. At any rate.
Cinque bambini.
Where's my rock star cheers? Thank you for Lauderdale. What a spring break at Christmas we had. Woo! Sexy Liver Weekend of Fort Lauderdale. What a weekend.
Did you get around the up bridges?
Yes.
The bridges were up.
Oh, I know. We felt really bad. We were sold out, but there were some empty seats because people didn't, they couldn't make it. They put the boat parade.
Yeah.
And if you didn't make it across the thing in time, the bridges went up.
Can they do that?
The traffic's kind of a nightmare on that night.
Can they do that?
Apparently.
All right.
Apparently, I almost had to swim to get on stage on time.
It's going to be a bit of a nightmare.
I was drunk. Yikes. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lavoie, voice deity, Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Oh, God. That's it for 2011, ladies and gentlemen. I made it without my rose moment.
Good.
But, Alan Grayson was... I have to tell you, first of all, talk about rock star cheers.
Yeah.
John Fugelson usually goes on first, and we're all backstage. He goes, what's going on? Is the show starting? And it was Alan Grayson just sat down. He was like, Freebird! Yeah. Anyway, he was just awesome, and he drove all the way from Orlando and took time for us. And it was just, it was so amazing, because the crowd went wild before they just saw him.
Yeah.
And he's hard to miss.
He's a rock star.
Yeah. And he had a big, red, white, and blue...
tie.
American flag tie on. And
I've seen him wear that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he did panel with us, and then he stuck around the whole night for Q&A with the audience, or for
meet and grope.
Meet and grope with the audience, and then we went out for drinks later, and it was a whole thing.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Don't say that. Nothing untoward happened. All of us went out.
Okay. I believe you.
All right. I learned things about Alan Grayson I didn't know. Harvard undergrad.
Yep.
Harvard Law School.
Yep.
Harvard Kennedy School of Government. He has like three Harvard degrees.
Yep.
So,
he's a lawyer, I hear tell.
He had like a $40 million case that he was supposed to be working on, but he came for me to the thing.
Aww. And I bet he knows who the leader of Uzi Beki 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 Stan
is. Yeah, scary smart, Alan Grayson. All right. Kids, I got me a love letter from, let's see. Oh, Cliff in Miami. Steph, the South Florida Sexy Liberal Show was a much-needed lifeline for me. I'm usually driving down the road in South Miami while I listen to on my iPhone. That's because there's no liberal radio anymore in Miami, because that's what I'm told
at my
sold-out show.
Apparently there's no demand for that sort of thing.
At my sold-out show at the Parker Playhouse, apparently there's no demand for this sort of thing. Walking into the Parker Playhouse Saturday night made me feel like part of a community again. What a fun and friendly crowd. That's the thing. It's such a cool crowd. People, I think, are going for each other now. They're not really going for us.
Uh-oh.
It makes me feel like part of a community again. Everyone was smiling, saying hello to each other. It was so much fun. Nicole Sandler was a panic. I just read that because I don't think I've heard anyone called a panic in many years.
Since '06.
Yeah, not since the '40s.
But Nicole Sandler is a panic. I had no idea she was so pretty. She is pretty.
She's a hottie.
She was, and it was all. She opened the show and brought John up. It was just a little progressive circle jerk. It was so exciting. Was Randy at the show? No. Hoa was in New York with the Howard, because Howard was having back surgery, so I invited her.
Okay.
Yeah. But the Hoa was not able to be there, and it was, 17 after.
Is that what time the show started? It's supposed to start at 8, but it started at 17 after.
I said, hey, Hawa. That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
If she just stuck her head out, just did a time check.
Had she been there, the show would have started at 17
after. Welcome to Sexy Liberal 17 after, and then just popped like a little cuckoo clock.
Yep.
Yeah. I was so proud of our crowd when they gave Alan Grayson a rock star welcome. The four of you sitting on stage was an odd sight. Alan is a big man. It looked like Santa and three little sexy liberal elves.
Yeah.
He is hard to miss when he comes and sits down. Yeah. My partner, David, who goes into the coma at the mere mention of politics, was laughing his ass off the whole show. He couldn't believe how beautiful you are. Oh, why? He has delightful taste.
Yeah, that's sweet.
He thought you were a big cow for some reason.
You know what? When
big blonde
what
cow.
What is that about?
Before I started working with you and I was listening to you, I thought you were a big fat blonde.
Who's that big fat blonde cow on the radio?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know what it is about
that
your voice.
That was the insult du jour. I used to be a big fat cow. I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember that guy in prison? So, well, I get a lot of prison letters.
You
but
do.
The guy, he drew a sketch of him making love to me over a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a really, really large blonde.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know what it is about your voice that
you
makes people
sound
think that.
Like you should be working at Oktoberfest.
I don't know.
You should be a St. Pauli girl.
Cliff
St. Pauli is on the other end of town. Good answer.
Some sort of beer.
Yeah.
I didn't do the meet and grope, but I did grope myself during the show. Oh, all
wow.
right. I don't.
Okay.
Well, that's
TMI.
You know, yeah, you can keep that to yourself at Sexy Liberal. We're very open minded.
Yeah.
That's fine. Love Cliff in Miami, South Florida, Sexy Liberal Facebook page. Let's get Stephanie Miller back on the air in South Florida. Well, what a good idea! Because that sports station they replaced us was not doing so well.
I hear that.
Zero
I
is
feel
like
badly.
As bad as it gets,
uh-huh.
pretty much.
I feel badly about that.
Mm-hmm. Can you have negative numbers? I don't know. Why do they hate capitalism?
Don't make me turn the Sexy Liberal streams on you. We've got some folks now on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, we do.
Some radio company's going to be getting some Sexy Liberal streams crossed, which, you know.
Important safety tip. Thanks, Egon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dogs and cats will be sleeping together.
All right. Skip in Fort Lauderdale was there. Hey, Skip.
OMG.
OMG, LOL, LMLOA.
So you come down to the front row. You're walking across. Hugs and kisses for everyone. I'm all excited. My moment comes, and you present me with that spectacular ass.
Oh.
15 seconds of grinding.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, are you the one I ground my ass into?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome, awesome.
Where were those big bodybuilder flight attendants in the front row?
We had some flight attendant bears in the front
yeah,
row.
Yeah, I know this, Skip. Hey, Skip.
Yeah, and I was next to Glenn. Glenn was playing Words with Friends.
But of course.
I was paying close attention.
All right, Skip, it was great to see you guys. Thanks.
It was amazing.
Thank you, baby.
I heard from laughing. Best time ever.
And
anyone's thinking about going or not, you better go.
And you got a little ass for free. No extra charge, Skip.
First time. Thank God I watch a lot of porn because I knew what to do.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
That's what it's for.
Tip, watch some porn before you come to Sexy Liberal.
So you know what to do.
I've warned people in advance. I'm a cross between Rick Perry and Herman Cain. I get drunk and I sexually harass the whole first 3-4 rows. So just come prepared.
Allegedly.
Oh,
the first
by the
three
way,
rows what? Are all lying hoes.
I have the greatest. Florida was the greatest trip ever, first of all. Because speaking of gay, can I just say, I don't have the facts to back this up, but I think I have the highest listenership among gay male flight attendants of any radio host
I think
in the
do.
Country.
That's probably true.
Swear to God, I walked on the plane, he goes, hi, Mama, welcome to Screaming Baby Airlines.
Really?
I was like, hi! Anyway, so can I just say the drinks were coming on? He actually gave us 2 bottles of wine when we left.
Like airplane-sized bottles or big bottles?
No, big bottles.
Did they have a beverage cart?
He gave us 2 bottles of wine.
They should have had a beverage cart going up and down the aisle.
Yes!
With all the flight attendants there.
Oh, God.
That'd be hilarious. I think that should be in your writer, a beverage cart going up and down the aisles.
I know. I literally just like lovely parting gifts. Just saying.
And did Lisa go with you?
Yes.
Okay, so, wow.
Yeah, he let her play Words with Friends the whole way there. Ha ha! Screw you, Alec Baldwin. Love me. Airline attendants, love me. Oh, okay, and here you're not even going to believe this story.
What?
Guess who was on my flight?
Who?
Charo. I couldn't get better. Who I did the conga with on my disastrous canceled late night television show in 1995. Oh, my God, it's hilarious. I was
Chris
like,
wasn't even born in 1995.
Yes, I was. I watched The Love Boat with Charo as April.
Okay, so I when all bridesmaids on her ass. I went up into first class because the flight attendant loves me, so he didn't stop me.
Oh, God.
Oh, and she remembers. She looks exactly the same. And she was like, oh, it's Stephanie. Gucci, Gucci, Gucci. I am so glad you are going to Miami. Yay, 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 yay. Gucci, Gucci, Gucci. I swear to God.
And did she shake?
She did. She shook a little bit. I said, remember we did the conga on my late night show?
And she said no.
Yeah, and then they threw me back in the coach. They were like, all right, get her out of here. I really did. I did the bridesmaids thing. I just went flying through the curtains. Ciao!
Oh, bless your heart.
Mm-hmm. Get back in steerage.
Wait a minute. How come you don't fly first class?
Are you kidding me? Mr. Potter, the guy who owns the show.
You make more dead than
alive. He has to make his money back first.
I see. Okay.
First class. Oh,
wow, please. You're in steerage.
Oh, God. How embarrassing in front of Charo.
Go back downstairs with the Irish band.
Can you get her back in?
Yes, if Charo calls you the little people. Oh, that's really sad.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, my God. All right, so get your sexy liberal tickets. It is a car and then a tay. Portland first up January 7th. Philadelphia February 4th. Very excited about that one. Phoenix February 25th. Yep. Chicago March 3rd. Oh, and just announced apparently by accident on Friday, Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Which I was supposed to announce today. Damn it, you people!
Sorry.
I oughta, I don't
know. Oh, I oughta.
Nothing happens until Mama says it does.
We kind of let it slip, I guess.
Albuquerque's on sale!
Should've turned left in Albuquerque.
March 31st. Very, very excited to go back to...
Here's your chance to turn left at Albuquerque.
Yes.
Although if you turn left at Albuquerque coming from Los Angeles, you get to Santa Fe.
That's true.
So,
which is pretty nice.
Yeah.
I wonder if we can get some special celebrity panelists that we didn't get last time for Santa Fe that might live in Santa Fe.
Who could that be?
Okay.
Carrot Top?
March 31st. No. All right, so March 31st, just on sale. Tickets going fast there and on. Go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook for all our upcoming dates. All right, and Mike and Raleigh, can you believe people chose to go to Sexy Liberal instead of the 17,000th Republican debate Saturday?
God. Although this one was pretty good. They were really going for Newt Gingrich there.
Oh, God.
Historically,
that Romney could seem even more out of touch.
Yeah.
I'll bet you $10,000.
I'll bet you $10 million. Because I'm a man of the people.
I'm unemployed, but I'll bet you...
I'm just saying, you were for individual mandates, my friend.
Rick, I'll tell you what. $10,000? $10,000 bet?
I'm not in the betting business, I'll show you this.
I'll show you
the book.
$10,000 bet?
That's a significant amount.
Hello, Vegas. Give me $100 on rent.
Stop!
All right, I'll send you a check.
You got...
But nobody says, I'll bet you $10,000.
Do you know what a straight flush is? It's like unbeatable.
Now don't you bet your life on it.
It's playing badly everywhere for Mitt Romney.
Hey, I know that now!
So it made him look a little bit out of touch there.
A $10,000 wager is not something a likely caucus goer would do.
$10,000 bet?
You bet your life.
Thank you, Mike. Oh, God. It gets betterer and betterer.
Yeah.
All right. So, lots of stuff to talk about with the debate. Yeah, Rick Perry, you noticed, didn't take the bet, Jim, because he spent all the money on booze. Oops. 19 minutes after the hour. Back with all that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. By the way, Albuquerque Popejoy Hall on March 31st. You can go. We're going to have it up on Stephanie Miller Show Facebook.
Yep.
Sexy Liberal Facebook, yep. And sexyliberal.com for the direct link. Or you can go to UNMtickets.com. There you go.
UNM, University of New Mexico.
There you go.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or
So the sizzling homoerotic tension moved to between Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney now instead of... I wonder if Rick Perry felt left out.
Oh, I think so.
Oops.
Oh, Yeah, did you see that?
I'm still here.
Newt Gingrich drew audible murmurs when he said that when he hit Mitt Romney where it hurt, when he said the only reason you didn't become a career politician is because you lost to Ted Kennedy in 1994.
Which is very true.
Oh, dear.
It's very true. That was a very good point.
Oh, dear. Frankly. Yeah, you would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we were talking about the bet. Romney actually challenged Rick Perry to a $10,000 bet, which, oddly, makes him seem somewhat out of touch with the ordinary.
Although, I might look at that as, you know, one of those ridiculous bets. You know, I bet you a kajillion dollars that you won't win. You know, I don't see it as...
Except that for him, $10,000 really isn't a big deal.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even notice $10,000.
I just didn't.
Even though he's unemployed.
I just didn't take it as out of touch. I just took
I'm unemployed just like you.
Was that worse than, remember, he was with a group of people all telling their unemployment stories, and he's like, well, I had to tell my story. I'm unemployed.
Yeah.
I've been living in my son's basement. Mm. Not really.
Yeah, how about you tell your story? How about you just shut your pie hole? How about that? Okay. Yeah, so Romney continues, what they were betting over, he continues to insist he never posited his mandate as a national solution. Or Mediaite saying, but as readers of this site well know, that simply isn't true. I'll bet a fiddle of gold. Against your soul. Yeah, can I just say the other really good news for America, bad news for comedy?
What?
Donald Trump may have to cancel his debate.
Yeah, I heard that.
Since Herman Cain got out, has it been such a blow to comedy? Gawker saying, time for your daily dose of giving Donald Trump any kind of publicity. Today, the shrieking mud butt face's precious little debate is in tatters. You know when Michelle Bachmann goes, you know what, this is too crazy for me. I'm out. That you know it's a crazy little.
Yeah.
Mm. So it was going to be, Donald said he'll have to look into canceling the debate now, because it was going to be just him and Newt Gingrich by candlelight with a side of...
Which would have been huge.
Frothy
Santorum. Huge.
Now the only thing we have to look forward to is the Christmas special.
A family classic returns this year with a very frothy holiday.
Frothy Santorum was a frothy mix of snow. With a corn cob here and a carrot there, and he looked just like some coal.
Hello, children.
It's Frothy.
Hi, Frothy.
I hope you're having a great holiday season.
Where did you come from, Frothy?
Well, it's kind of a mix, but I mostly came from love.
You mean like when my daddy loves my mommy?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Well, I gotta go.
Don't leave, Frothy.
Bye, Frothy.
Frothy,
Dick. Oh, Mike and Raleigh. Ooh. Mike, Louise, Raleigh.
That was kind of funny. that was.
And then he melts into a little puddle in a bathhouse.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think it's a girl crying over him.
Okay.
Wow.
What? He melts near the radiator that Boy George has chained a Norwegian to.
Yeah.
What? This is getting...
Who hasn't chained a Norwegian to a radiator?
Yes, and spent a little time in the hole for it. So what? Like, he was without sin.
Guessed something.
All right. Wow. All right. I needed to recover from Frothy the Santorum.
That was pretty rude.
Not for the kids. Okay.
Wow.
Hey, speaking of which, 29 minutes after the hour, Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, are you turned on right now? What is wrong with you?
I've got a thing for damaged goods.
That's me. Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Yay for the Mooks filling in for Mama on Friday.
Oh, yeah?
Mama listened.
Uh-oh. You said you were going to call in, and I got worried when you didn't. I thought we angered you somehow.
Yes, you angered
Mama. Angered the gods.
Yes.
You must sacrifice a virgin. Well, good luck finding one here. But
yes, not in Hollywood. Good luck.
Yeah.
All right.
And we clean the blood off the walls from the Fight Club.
Awesome. Awesome. Good. Good. I can barely smell the testosterone this morning. All right. Let's get rude, shall we?
Sleep up at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa. Happy Frothy the Santorum season.
Oh, I love that. It's my favorite time of year. Does it have a carrot nose?
Wrathful time of the year.
It would be such a sad, cute little debate, wouldn't it? Just, you know, Donald Trump and Newt Gingrich by candlelight with a little side of Santorum. What's more romantic?
Oh, I know. It would be beautiful because of just how uncomfortable Santorum would look the entire time. Just like he did at this debate. Just looking like this last one on Saturday. Like, golly gee, am I really here?
Yeah, I can't believe we finally reached the point in this primary where Michelle Bachmann has said, okay, you know what, this is too crazy for me, I'm out. Now this has gotten really nuts.
Yeah. Oh, you mean with the Trump debate?
Yeah.
And the fact that Ron Paul, who seems to show up anywhere,
right,
actually said that he wouldn't do it either. It's like the one brief moment of nobility in this entire ridiculous season.
Yeah, something ridiculous about it being beneath the office of the presidency.
Whatever.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, Newt Gingrich is also beneath the office of the presidency.
Yes, exactly. So did you watch the latest one on Saturday?
Oh, I totally did. It was it was a sad and lonely Saturday night at Casa Rude. So, so it was just, I know, it was just me and whiskey and Newt.
At least you had whiskey to keep you company.
Just better company than Newt.
What was your take on this latest? What are we at, the 17,000th? I can't even keep track of these debates.
I just loved all the little moments in there of Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney was just constantly there trying to top everybody. He's like that terrible person at a party. Like, you try to tell them a story, and he immediately jumps in and tries to top you with his story.
Yeah, and it took him all the debate to have a comeback to the you'd be a career politician if you had lost to Kennedy. And then he's like, well, my friend, I was thinking about it, and if I'd gone to the NFL, I'd be a career football player by now. Yeah, you know what? That's not really good.
No. But you know what? He'd still be able to afford a $10,000 bet if he'd gone into the NFL.
You wouldn't win any analogy contests either. But
I love the moments like when he and Newt got into the BB loving contest.
Who, say again?
The BB Netanyahu.
Oh yes, yes. Yeah. Gingrich, who is way to the right of Netanyahu. Right.
Yeah, and just you know, like Romney talking about BB Netanyahu, and then Gingrich comes in and says, "I've known BB since 1984," and then Mitt immediately follows up with, "I've known BB for a long time too."
I used to have a BB gun, so there.
Yes. We work together at the Boston Consulting Group, as if somehow that's a really good credential.
Right.
I once stayed in a B&B.
Yeah, and then it was just, the whole premise of that, Gingrich saying, frankly, Palestinians, they're an invented people, Sprites or fairies.
The people who lived in Palestine.
Leprechauns.
Before there was an Israel.
Yeah.
Right, and I love that Palestinian did not become a common term until after 1977. It's like,
They're kind of in the Bible, aren't they?
Yeah, well, also, you know, that took like 2 seconds on Google to disprove.
Yeah.
Like, hey, look at all these newspapers from the 1960s. Talking about the Palestinians.
I just picture the Office of PolitiFact just exploding during a Republican debate. What? No! That's not... No! No! You know?
Well, and the thing about Newt is that he gets away with everything because he just says every lie with such confidence that he could just stand there and say, yeah, you know, the way to solve the Palestinian crisis is you go and you take a big chunk of the moon and you bring the moon down and you slowly crush the Palestinian people with that, and then you make a paste of the moon dust and the blood and you feed it. And then, you know, people will just sit there, and because he sounds so professorial about it, they'll just go, that's a really interesting plan.
As an historian, I know that's happened a million times in the past.
Yes.
The moon has been used many times to destroy invented peoples. But I mean, we were saying, I don't know if people caught the latest cheering, because, you know, if you're keeping track, of course, they've cheered letting uninsured people die, the death penalty, boo to gay soldiers, so they cheered child labor. Did you see that? I did.
When he said, because you know, nothing would have made me more popular in high school than cleaning the locker room toilets.
Exactly. Now, as I was mentioning, sadly for Rick Perry, the crackling homoerotic tension is now between Newt and Mitt.
And that's not as crackling as it was between Perry and...
No, it was much better hair off between...
No, because I don't think that Newt's interested. With Perry, you got the chance that there was just the slightest chance that there were going to go backstage.
Yeah. Just a little stirring of the loins.
Because figure out where Jesus is from.
Yeah.
Because leave it to you to talk about the Rick Perry, anti-gay ad. Can you believe gays can serve in the military and our kids can't have Christmas?
You know that one. Who tweeted the thing about the jacket? George Takei.
Yes,
oh,
George
Takei. Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, my. I've seen that jacket somewhere before.
Are you kidding? That jacket's on a poster on his wall.
Well, as you point out, you and George point out, it's Heath Ledger's jacket from Brokeback Mountain that he's wearing in the ad. And you say the video actually reveals a deep, unfulfilled queer desire within Perry, a latency that's rendered explicit in Perry's words and actions throughout the ad. Strong.
That's the name of the ad, yeah.
Just the first line, I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian, but.
Bottom. I mean, but yes.
Yes, and then you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday.
Come on, kid.
I didn't write the ad. I'm just the guy interpreting it.
I think that they weren't going to call the ad hard originally, but
focus group was strong.
And this is probably the biggest internet meme I've seen in the past year. Is people making fun of this ad with various pictures?
Oh no, and people hated it. People,
yeah,
exactly.
Even without the Brokeback reference, the barn coat looked like it still had the tags on it.
Took
it out of the box.
He's slowly walking up a hill with a river behind him and the trees. And was he in Texas? Is there even that much water in Texas right now?
That was the gayest Republican ad since Carl Rove's description of seeing George Bush for the first time.
No.
Yes, or any Dick Army ad.
Yeah, there you go. Obviously, the breaking news, in case you hadn't heard this morning, two new NBC news polls, Gingrich has opened up commanding leads in South Carolina and Florida. Obviously the guessing game going on, is Newt going to implode like he normally does? Or is it... Yeah,
I don't know. Everybody now conservatives are starting to say, as much as conservatives were blanching at Newt last week, this week they're starting to say, well, maybe he's a changed man. He's 68, is that right? 68 years old. Maybe now that he's 68, he won't have a wandering eye. Or maybe he's actually, gotten Calista to look so much like him that through plastic surgery and hair coloring that he doesn't need anybody else because he's always having sex with his reflection.
And then Rick Perry went there. Oh, yes, he did.
If you will cheat on your wife,
whoops.
If you will cheat on your spouse, then why wouldn't you cheat on your business partner? Or why wouldn't you cheat on anybody for that matter?
Oh, yes, he did.
Oh, my
You went there,
God.
Frankly. I can't fucking believe that you did that, frankly.
Yeah.
I just love the idea that how many people, I bet you everybody who's ever been in business with a partner at that point went, my partner's cheating on his wife. I wonder if I need to check the books now.
Yeah, exactly.
That man makes sense. Sex and money and politics are all connected.
And Michelle Bachmann, of course, coined her. Oh, you could tell Marcus. No. This must have made Marcus just bust a gut. I know, just like morph them into one guy.
If you look at Newt Romney, they were for the illegal immigration problem. And if you look at Newt Romney, they were for the $700 billion bailout. You just heard Newt Romney is also with Obama on the issue of the payroll extension.
But what does Mitt Gingrich think?
Yeah. You forgot about him.
Yeah, Mitt Gingrich thinks the opposite.
For now.
But what I think is that at this point, Republican voters are paying so little attention that they, for a moment, went, wait, I thought his last name was Gingrich.
Dar. Now, rudeness. I saved this till the end, the part where we have we disagree, and then we have really athletic makeup sex.
Athletic.
President Obama's latest big damn speech about the economy. So is your post. And you say you were supposed to all over the TV as Obama talked about the rich paying their fair share and Republicans being bags of. But you just couldn't. You couldn't get it up for that.
I couldn't, because the actual proposals in there were the same proposals that he made back in April. There was nothing new in the speech other than the framing of it. And even the framing of it, people started saying, oh, he's taken on the Occupy Wall Street language of the 99% and the 1%. But I went back to that April speech, and no, he actually said in that speech pre-Occupy Wall Street, about the wealthiest 90% or the wealthiest 1% versus 90% of the people in the country. So, yes, the historical context has changed because of Occupy Wall Street, but the actual proposals and even some of what seemed like his more radical rhetoric in there was just stuff that he's done before.
Well, you were kind enough to lay out the Robert Rice, who feels differently. He said it lays out the basis for what could be the platform Obama will run on in 2012: increasing taxes on the rich, investing in the rest of us, requiring corporations and Wall Street banks that reap benefits from being in America, create good jobs for Americans, and protecting our democracy from being corrupted by money, a new nationalism. I guess just having spent Saturday night with Alan Grayson, this is what you, Rude, you and I have talked about this before. People that go, oh, there's no difference, and he's not, you get me some Alan Graysons back in there, you get me an Elizabeth Warren, and the president, can do more. I get what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. And I totally agree with you, and I totally think that, not to spoil the makeup sex by compromising early, but when he's laying out these kinds of things, he could actually lay them out in language that is stronger than what he does. And as I pointed out, he always used conditional language. Banks should do this, that they should increase access to refinancing,
this line you write, how's about new regulations with real teeth on banking and the influence of money in politics? Well, I agree with you, but then, like Barney Frank says, where were you in the midterms? Barney Frank fought for some legislation. Elizabeth Warren is fighting for that. Alan Grayson has fought for that. This is proof that he could never have gotten Elizabeth Warren appointed. He can't get this next guy appointed. They won't do anything that's going to help accomplish that.
And that's what he should be saying. He should be out there saying, if you want more banking regulations that, like I want, then vote these people in.
Right.
If you want this thing, and not this thing, and not to make it incumbent upon the bank's good behavior, which is what he talked about in his speech last week.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, everything sexy liberal gives money to, it happens. Marriage equality in New York, recalling Governor Walker, and our cause for Fort Lauderdale. Grayson for Congress.
Oh, yeah.
Congressman with guts.com.
Totally, totally.
All right.
I need those good lines from Grayson back.
Yes.
I know. Exactly. All right. His rudeness, great stuff this week, honey. See you next week. Rude Pundit.
All right. Bye.
.blogspot.com.
Yes, and pick up his book, The Rude Pundit's Almanac.
Please. Please and thank you. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. This hour, brought to you by the Ham and Legs Show. Proud to sponsor 1 hour on the Stephanie Miller Show because that's all it can afford. Take a listen at thehamandlegsshow.com. You know who that is?
Who?
Jody Hamilton, Carol Burnett's daughter.
Oh, very cool.
Who came to a Sexy Liberal in L.A. He's a big fan of the show, and I had her over for dinner.
Awesome.
She and her awesome boyfriend, and we had a great time.
Very cool.
And I also got to show her the creepy picture of her and her mom and her sister in my house. Because it's a long story. Yeah, it looked kind of creepy. Well, because Carol Burnett's like my,
I know. Yeah.
So I did an interview with a woman that did a picture book of famous mothers and their daughters.
Right.
And they knew how much I loved Carol Burnett, so they gave me this giant blown-up picture. So everyone that sees it goes, oh, are you good friends with them? I'm like, no. I've never met any of them. And everyone's like, wow, that's really creepy and that's big.
Stalkery.
That's a big picture, and it's creepy and stalky. Okay. So she was a little taken aback when she saw it, but very polite. She's like, oh, wow, well, that is a big picture of us.
Oh, dear. Okay.
But she inherited her mom's sense of humor because when she came for dinner, she brought me a picture where she had photoshopped me in on the end.
No.
So now I have another picture in my house where I'm photoshopped in as one of Carol Burnett's daughter on the very end. Just looking up at her all creepy.
Aw.
Creepy, creepy, creepy. All right. By the way, if there was any chance I was ever going to meet her, that probably just blew it right there.
Yep.
Yeah. that and her daughter telling her about the big creepy picture of her in my house.
Yeah, good luck with that now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, speaking of pictures, Roland says that he doesn't think any picture on Sexy Liberal Facebook has ever gotten as many likes as Alan Grayson sandwiched between my girlfriend and I, Lisa.
Oh. Yeah, I glanced at that picture. I didn't read any of the comments.
He looks so happy.
I'm sure.
He looks like a happy man. From the we got some pictures up at Sexy Liberal Facebook from the Fort Lauderdale show. Check it out. All right, speaking of entertainment, oh, no. You know what? Shows get the green light while I'm gone that I don't even know about.
Sexy liberal family from the town of Burbank. It's the greatest show in history. Let's ride with the moves that are sublime through the courtesy of some hot wine. When you're with the Stepstones, have a barbarkila flur time. A gila flur time. Here's your boy in time.
Wow, Mike and Raleigh busy this weekend.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
We got three fresh things from Mike and Raleigh
and
this weekend.
And Frothy the Santorum, which I have to play again because it's going to be my favorite children's special.
That probably aroused a whole bunch of emotions in people.
Yes.
The Frothy the Santorum.
All right, so here was the exchange everyone was talking about from the big Republican debate on Saturday.
I'm listening to you, Mitt, and I'm hearing you say all the right things, but I read your first book, and it said in there that your mandate in Massachusetts, which should be the model for the country. Now, I know it came out of the reprint of the book, but, you know, I'm just saying, you were for individual mandates, my friend.
You know what? You've raised that before, Rick, and you're simply wrong.
It was true then.
No.
It's true now.
Rick, I'll tell you what. $10,000? $10,000 bet?
I'm not in the betting business, show you this. I'll show you the book.
I've got the book.
I don't have the money. In fact, I needed federal stimulus money to balance the budget in Texas, and I spent the rest on booze. Back pills. Don't got it. Sorry. Did Rick Perry just take his pockets out and let them hang?
Say it, nothing. There's nothing in there.
I get nothing. Don't you hope in the next debate somebody quotes this? Yeah, well, I'll bet a fiddle of gold against your soul. I think I'm better than you. Boy, tell you what, you sit down on that stuff. Okay. Love this song. I know the whole thing. Okay. By the way, so Romney does not disavow the $10,000 bet. Does that make me seem out of touch? Why? Democrats, Republicans,
I'm in touch, my friend.
Accusing Mitt Romney of being out of touch after the $10,000 bet line. Even as millions of Americans struggle to make ends meet in a troubled economy, Romney didn't back away from the comment yesterday. He says he's reminded he's not a good gambler. Oh, that was a little joke. Oh, God, they died about that at the country club.
I'm a panic.
I bet you he has been called a panic.
Yeah.
And a hoot.
And a hoot.
Romney's bet for a sum that represents more than 2 months' salary for Americans with mid-range incomes has ignited a discussion about whether Romney, who's maybe $200 million he's worth, is out of step with the challenges facing struggling.
I saved a lot of money living in my son's basement.
Sure you did.
Rick Perry said, I would suggest you $10,000 pocket change for Newt, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is awesome and from Florida.
Yep.
Called the remark the most out-of-touch comment in any debate so far, offering to bet Rick Perry $10,000 as casually as something he does all the time. Although I read a big story, I think it was in the New York Times, about how cheap Mitt Romney is.
Is he really?
Yes.
Yeah. He's one of those rich people that doesn't tip people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
You got to read the story.
No.
Thanks for the service. Here's a quarter.
Yeah.
Romney says he still believes he'll be the Republican nominee. I'm going to get the nomination, he told reporters Sunday night, although he's not much of a betting man.
And a pony.
Guess that's what he's betting. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollard and Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, and I feel good.
Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you by Vultures Picnic, the new book by Greg Palast, one of America's best investigative reporters and one of the funniest. You should read Vultures Picnic. Get the first chapter free at vulturespicnic.org or gregpalast.com.
All right.
And I'm reading it right now. You'll cry and laugh at the same time
and want to
throw things at people.
Shriek in horror.
That's,
good.
Yeah.
6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12.
That's Stephanie every day. She shrieks and cries and throws things at people.
That's just because of my natural instability. As I just did at Sexy Liberal Facebook, where people are posting age jokes already about my girlfriend.
Yep.
There's a picture of my girlfriend and I with Alan Grayson backstage in Fort Lauderdale Saturday night.
It's a hot picture.
Yes, and someone said, well, of course Alan Grayson wanted to meet Steph's girlfriend. He, like any politician, he enjoys kissing babies.
Okay!
All right!
As you see.
Gary writes, I'm familiar with the brown-haired lady, but who's the young, precious blonde child posing with Grammy and Grandpa? Seems kind of late for the poor dear's bedtime, don't you think, Steph? All right, you know what? I can't find my, never mind. I'm looking, oh, there it is.
I am not
here you go.
One of your fans!
Gary, okay.
Oh, yeah, I had trouble getting to know your box on Friday, let me just tell you.
Excuse me? It's because you didn't tell me I was pretty first. That's right.
Yeah.
You were over here touching my box.
I was.
All morning.
I was, and I...
Well, I was in Florida.
Your box just completely baffled me.
I was groping to Grayson, and you were... sticking your little chubby fingers all over my...
My roidy fingers?
Your big, fat, ham-handed roidy fingers. Jamming them in my box like it's nobody's business.
I know.
Okay. Oh, yes, face the Grayson, became grope the Grayson. Yes, that's also correct. That's Connie wrote that. Okay. Bill from Fort Lauderdale, we love you in South Florida. Steph, what an amazing show Saturday night. I'm still laughing. I had great seats, was sitting right behind those four muscle bears, and that was hard to see over the muscle bears. I had so many things I wanted to ask you at the meet and greet. However, I was starstruck and several white Russians. Wow, someone still drinks white Russians? That's awesome. I should have gone out to grasshoppers with them.
They're actually making a comeback, those white Russians.
I felt I was talking gibberish. You guys rock. Look forward to see you next year. Number one fan in Fort Lauderdale, Bill, who was at the big show. All right, cool. just announced Friday, without my approval, Albuquerque, March 31st. Yes.
It's a Saturday.
Go to sexyliberal.com or sexyliberal on Facebook. You can do the, it's at Pope Joy Hall, March 31st. We're very excited. Tickets flying out the window.
So we are going to make a left turn at Albuquerque.
Yes, indeed we are. Mm-hmm. All right. And the first show up in, 2012, Portland, Oregon, January 7th. And then very excited about the next
Philadelphia,
one.
We progressives hold these truths to be self-evident. That all sexy liberals are created equal, and that we are endowed by the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, laughter, and the pursuit of silliness. On February 4th, 2012, the comedy tour that is taking the country by storm will perform live at the Merriam Theater, featuring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the tastiest of all tasty cakes, Stephanie Miller.
Yummy!
Tickets are available online at KimmelCenter.org or by calling 215-893-1999.
Nine, nine, nine.
Philadelphia, come show your favorite progressives some of your brotherly love. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on February 4th at the Merriam Theater. Philly, these liberals will be sure to ring your Liberty Bell.
Thank you, Philadelphia.
Sexy, huh? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Party like it's 999.
Exactly. God, I miss him already. Okay. You just hear that and you go, oh. All right. Speaking of which, I say that every Monday. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
Speaking of things we get all misty about and love, great piece this week of yours on how Fox News' war on Christmas is like the Nutcracker.
Yeah.
It's like a holiday special that comes every year.
It's really, that's what people, I think, obviously at this point have sort of caught on to. I think we're in sort of year 7 or 8. That, you know, this is all a pre-planned production. As I write in the piece, it's like having the scenery, you know, stored in the basement, and they just bring it up right on time. I mean, it's it has nothing to do with that, what's actually going on in the news cycle.
Yeah.
And it's all sort of this predetermined, you know, holiday production, and they bring it out. And
yep.
And really, at this point, you know, even CNN anchors are talking about how it's so predictable. And
yeah.
Jon Stewart and Colbert have a great time, and it's become like sort of this national punchline.
Yeah. Well, Media Matters got 250 matches when you search Fox News yeah. War on Christmas. Yeah. It's a true evergreen, as you say. And you say we'll remain in heavy seasonal rotation as long as there is a Fox News.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, Virginia.
I mean, it's definitely a calling card, and like the Nutcracker, just it appears every year.
Yeah. I wonder if they get a bump in the ratings from it. I mean, that's got to be the only reason I think they continue this thing.
Yeah, it's to gin up this sort of us against them. It's sort of this nonstop, you know, feeling of persecution that you know,
yeah.
particularly. White Christian males in America right. are under constant siege. And
I love how you say, and yes, the people who work at Fox have seen the production schedule and know when to start prepping for the War on Christmas staging. They probably have sets in the back.
Yeah.
Get the duck, like your Christmas decorations.
Christmas decorations. They're in a box in the basement. Yeah.
Get the dust off. Bring out the War on Christmas sets. At least Rick Perry has finally explained it to us, Eric. It's because there's gays in the military that your kids can't have Christmas.
Right. You leave that.
What? All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Rich Lowry on Fox News Watch on the president's speech.
I thought it was a very poisonously partisan speech, extremely divisive. But basically because he quoted Teddy Roosevelt, everyone stroked their chins and said how awful it was. He did not make any logical case whatsoever for how inequality has reduced mobility from the bottom in this country because
there's no inequality.
There's no case you can make for that.
Shut up. You're the one who's defensive. I'm not defensive.
This is here we go, right? Eric campaigns.
Look at him all black and stuff.
Anytime the president lays out his positions, it's poisonously partisan.
That really is one of the hallmarks of sort of the right-wing media. A, it's just sort of under Obama, particularly, it's just gone bonkers and completely demented. And then when Obama has the nerve to actually answer back any criticism, then everyone pretends they've seen a mouse and they jump on the stool like Rich Lowry and act stunned. And, you know, how dare he? How dare
he? He's a Democrat. He's not supposed to fight back.
How dare he campaign for the White House? So, you know, it's so extreme. You know, the vitriol and you know, the ad hominem attacks and the spewage that they just put out there is so radical and extreme and almost comical. And then there's sort of Katie bar the door reaction when Obama actually answers their criticism. The combination is really
I'm never going to be able to get that visual out of my head. I sort of picture Rich Lowry as the kind of guy on a stool with
a mouse
and screaming for his wife. Get it! Oh, my God! Just a mouse! Yes. All right. Martha McCollum, who is, you know, a straight news anchor. She's just reporting the news, Eric. Yeah. You know that.
I heard you talk about tax reform, eliminating loopholes. The president talked about it as well the other day. This seems to me, and I can't figure this out, it seems to me to be something that both sides agree with. The Republicans want to, you know, level out the tax code and make because that is an increase in revenue right there. If you eliminate the loopholes, you will increase revenue. Both sides seem to agree on this. How come it never gets past that point of talking about it and saying, yeah, that's a good idea?
I think because everybody who's got a loophole has got somebody in Congress that wants to protect that loophole. One man's loophole is another man's vital benefit, unfortunately, in the tax code. Listen, bottom line is we have this tax.
Yeah, that's here we go.
Okay,
they're all the same. Both sides are all the same. Yeah, they're both the same.
Everybody does it, right? I mean, that's how Fox News describes sort of this radical obstructionism and this radical gridlock. They just sort of shake their heads and they can't figure out what's really going on. When of course everyone knows what's going on, one party has adopted, you know, is the party of no.
Right.
And I mean that's what Fox News' role is, to purposely not provide any sort of insight into how government actually works.
Eric, I mean, Eric and Mitt Romney, I think, just, you know, made that false point, I think, Saturday night about, oh, we have the highest corporate tax rate in the world. No, we don't, because there's so many loopholes. Everybody knows that. You know, I mean, it's just to even put that out there. All right, Sean Hannity and Frank Luntz on the radio.
Polls now show that Newt is a pretty big lead in states like Iowa, South Carolina, and Florida.
And the reason why he has a lead is in a single word, brains.
What?
It is explicitly the debates, his performance, his intellect, and that's very. And we've not seen a candidate like him in my lifetime.
Well, I agree. He's done extraordinarily well. He's extremely intelligent, very, very smart.
He's a zombie. I knew it.
Compared to the rest of the field, who are the dumbest stumps we have ever seen assembled in a primary.
Must have brains, frankly.
Right, if he's such this extraordinary historic figure, why was he to get 4% in August? It's because they've gone through every other audition, and every other person auditioning has failed. Yeah. And now they're sort of turning to Newt saying, oh, I guess, you know.
I guess.
Well, if we have to.
Yeah. I swear to God, Eric, somebody wrote this last week, and I think it's true, that it just they're trying to, I think they know they're going to lose. It's just they're trying to come up with the least cringeworthy candidate to debate the president. You know what I mean? When they try to picture Perry or Kane or Bachman debating Barack Obama, it's like, oh, God, how do we make this at least not, you know.
Not an embarrassment.
Yeah, a debacle.
Maybe. I mean, everyone, you know, A, they claim Obama can't debate, and without a teleprompter, he's completely lost. You know, good luck with that. And this other notion that, you know, Gingrich is going to swoop in next fall, and he's going to, you know, dazzle the America with his debate skills, and he's going to overcome all these obstacles. I mean, it's kind of funny to watch. I think it's a bit naive.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Eric Boulder remains in the sidecar. We continue with more Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Everybody dance now.
Yeah, do it.
Go.
Yes,
go.
23 minutes after the hour.
Get your back up off the wall.
Don't be fancy. Just get dancy. 23 minutes after the hour. Pink.
Yeah, I know.
2011. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Eric Boulder remains in the sidecar as we continue Right Wing World. Todd Starnes on Fox News Radio.
Yes.
From Fox News Radio on Hannity.
I don't think Perry's out of this. I think that ad that he put out this week on Obama's war on religion, mm-hmm. I think that was a home run. And I think it's resonating with those evangelical Christian voters in Iowa. Look, there's a story that came out today that conservative Christian leaders feel like Romney hates them. Mm-hmm. That, you know, he hasn't come down to visit with them, to meet with them. The other candidates have, mm-hmm. but he hasn't.
Uh-huh, that's code.
Yeah, code for, he's a Mormon, he wears the underpants.
I mean, to suggest that Perry had a home run, that is kind of priceless. I think I saw somewhere it logged more negative comments on YouTube than almost any clip.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, they did a likes and dislikes. It got like massive amount of dislikes. Yeah. I know. It's just, this is an issue, Eric. By the time Don't Ask, Don't Tell was overturned, what was it, 80% of the American people thought? And he's going to go after gays in the military? What?
And now even the head of the Marines is for the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal.
Yeah,
it's a very 1996 type of ad.
Yes,
yeah, it would have been spectacular. A home run in 1996, exactly.
Exactly.
All right, Gretchen Carlson on Fox and Friends.
Guess what? It's a war on all holidays now. It's filtering over, not just Christmas. Now they're not going to have Christmas trees or menorahs in Boca Raton because the city says, look, we're tired of being the referee. There's a small group of people who continue to complain. And the threat of lawsuits might put us under, so we're just not going to have it anymore. Nothing. I was actually thinking about that. Like, when will it come to the personal home situation? Might be right around the corner. I have lots of lights up at my house, and I'm just wondering.
I can hear a knock at the door. Excuse me? There's reports of a little drummer boy by your Christmas tree. You're going to need to come with me.
It's offensive.
Bring your own figurines.
Excuse me, that's my son. Oh, sorry. It doesn't matter.
Oh. It's the Christmas police, Eric.
I love how it's the, you know, who is that town talking about in terms of the small group of people who are constantly, you know, complaining? They're talking about those Fox News viewers.
Exactly.
They're talking about this war on Christmas, and now they turn it around and say, oh, my gosh, they're, you know, now there's a war on, you know, Hanukkah as well or what, you know, there's war on all types of holidays. This is exactly what the problem is. You have this small radical minority whipping up this false fear of the war on Christmas, and it has real-world consequences, and then people at Fox pretend, you know, they're not responsible for this kind of mini-crusade.
Yeah, some say in the Fox hallways.
Yeah. And Gretchen Carlson was worried about the Christmas police coming and taking away her Christmas decorations. Is she too dopey to understand the difference between private and public property? The mind reels.
All right.
Not hers.
No.
Although I wish the Christmas police would bust my next-door neighbor, because that's obnoxious. I hate people that over Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay. Rush Limbaugh to finish up.
Snurdly, what do you think the odds are that Obama got confused, Hanukkah and Kwanzaa?
There's no.
It also has a candelabra. Like, it was 7 days, 7 candles instead of 8 for Hanukkah. And you light them all at once. So Obama, he had a menorah there. He lit them all. I'm sure he thought it was Kwanzaa.
Oh, boy.
What?
Wow. Huh? It's kind of, they're down to seeds and stems by the end of the year in right-wing radio, aren't they?
Seeds black is what I'm saying.
But, you know, of course, you know, they had this Hanukkah celebration at the White House, and, of course, the right wing went nuts because it was all wrong. In this case, Obama was going to be in Hawaii during Hanukkah, so, you know, they celebrated it early, and people like Limbaugh went bonkers. I mean, he, you know, this is just the definition of Obama derangement syndrome, and you cannot do anything right.
Did you? I don't know.
And if you celebrate Hanukkah at the White House, that proves that you hate Hanukkah and you hate Jews. Literally, that was the attack last week.
By the way, I don't know if it was you guys that posted this, but this was my favorite last week. Right wing honors Pearl Harbor by whining about Sasha and Malia's school lunch.
Yeah.
You see this? Oh, they went insane because they served an Asian themed lunch, and of course the company that served it was completely a coincidence.
Yeah.
But it was all over Drudge and the right wing. Harmless oversight or slap in the face. Sasha and Malia's Obama's school opts for Asian food on Pearl Harbor Day.
They plan these things months in advance.
Besides, Asia is a big place.
Yes.
The Japanese invaded China and Manchuria.
Do they think Asia
long before
bombed us at Pearl Harbor?
10 years before Pearl Harbor.
Oh,
moron.
This is what they've got, Eric. This is what they're
like. Like you said, end of the year. It's
yeah,
really
seeds and stems.
The barrel stuff.
There you go. Listen, don't we know it? Listen to next week's show.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eric. See you then. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah. We'll be down to 70s songs going the wrong style. And
Asian food.
He laughed a little too hard at your joke. Does he understand that we are down to seeds and stems as well?
Everyone is at the end of the year. There's nothing to talk about. Yeah. It really, I mean.
What's your favorite Christmas special?
Yeah, because that's the most important thing. What Sasha and Malia are eating on a daily basis.
All right. Asian food on Pearl Harbor Day.
Andrea in Miami. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Mama. Hi, Moose. I just wanted to say I had a great, great time on Saturday at the Sexy Liberal Show. So much fun. Such a great show.
Thank
I love that you brought Alan Grayson with you. My favorite part, though, was that I had my mom, who kind of has more right-wing tendencies, and you guys had her crying from the second John walked on stage.
Aww.
Like, from laughter. It was awesome.
Oh, good. So. Well, yay. Thanks so much for coming, Andrea. Appreciate it.
All right, no problem.
All right. Yay! I didn't hear the end of that, but okay.
Yeah.
I was yaying. Yep. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're a good woman.
Stephanie Miller.
Perhaps you won't burn in hell after all. Maybe you just go to purgatory with all the unbaptized babies.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right, talking about the Republican debate and Mitt's bet.
I'm just saying, you were for individual mandates, my friend.
Rick, I'll tell you what. $10,000? $10,000 bet?
I'm not in the betting business, but I'll show you this.
I wrote
the book.
$10,000 bet?
That's a significant amount.
Hello, Vegas. You mean $100 on rent?
Stop!
All right, I'll send you a check.
You got...
But nobody says, I'll bet you $10,000.
Do you know what a straight flush is? It's like unbeatable.
Now don't you bet your life on it.
It's playing badly everywhere for Mitt Romney.
Hey, I know that now!
So it made him look a little bit out of touch there.
The $10,000 wager is not something a likely caucus goer would do.
$10,000 bet?
You bet your life.
Aha. Uh-huh. Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. Oh, did you see today Mitt is saying he dismisses the $10,000 debate bet and says, I just threw out an outrageous number to answer an outrageous charge.
Well, it's not
outrageous. Oh, please, who believes you think at $10,000 is an outrageous
number? You're a lying sacrifice.
That's in your couch.
You're a lying sacrifice.
Oh, but it's just an outrageous number.
$10,000 of people, my friend.
Oh, my God. It was just good. It was the highest number I could think. It was just outrageous. Crazy. Wow. I've never spent that.
He spends that much on per month on the help.
Yeah, please. Please.
On his hair, probably.
By the way, I was saying, former and future Congressman Alan Grayson, who joined us for panel on Sexy Liberal Saturday night in Fort Lauderdale, I was making the point. He is the 1%. He's very successful. But that's the difference. He spent his whole life fighting for the 99%. Yeah. That's the difference. It's not that a lot of politicians don't have money. He's wildly successful, but it's the policies that they are. Yes. Oh, in fact, I just got this. I think that we put this up at Stephanie Miller Facebook. Michelle took a picture. Somebody wore a Grayson Miller 2012.
Yes, that's up at your Facebook page.
Here is promised picture of you and my husband Miles in his Grayson Miller 2016 shirt.
Oof.
Love the show. Actually, it said Grayson Miller, the wet dream ticket.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Love the show. You, John, and Hal make us all laugh like crazy. Well worth the hour and a half drive from our home. The meet and grope was an added bonus. Hugs Michelle, the official South Florida Register Republican Closet Progressive Cookie Baking Shut-In Housewife, the Stephanie Miller Show, and her husband Miles, the official Dungeon Master. That was, they have a bunch of titles between the four.
Yes. Not S&M Dungeon. He's a Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh,
Dungeon
yes.
Well,
yes.
Yes.
Sure.
I think we,
yeah,
didn't different. He call us last week and clarify that?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no safe word in Dungeons and Dragons.
No, okay. There most definitely is not.
Oh, boy. By the way, did you hear this? So, Romney's been trying to fight back and seem more regular now, Jim, after this latest
gaffe. I'm a regular guy. Oh, yes, I am.
For Pete's sake, I should have said that. I'm running for president. Is that what I said? That was an outrageous amount I just threw out there. But I love this. So in recent days, Romney has also started to point to his time working as a Mormon missionary in France to make the point that he can relate to those who have less. I don't think France, like it's Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
I was in France, for God's sakes.
The primitive Syria, city of Paris.
I mean, the amuse-bouche was so substandard. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't know what it's like to scrape by. I mean, I've never tasted Beaujolais that awful.
Like,
I don't know how regular people live.
Beaujolais?
I don't know. He says, I lived
Beaujolais
with people.
It's wine. He wouldn't drink that anyway.
No.
No.
He said, I lived with people in France who lived very modestly. Oh, no.
Good heavens.
The downtrodden.
They only had three bedrooms.
They don't even own their own houses.
They only had a partial Eiffel Tower view from their veranda. I mean, he said, I lived in a way that the people of lower middle income in France lived. And I said to myself, wow. I sure am lucky to be born in the United States of America.
Oh, God.
God forbid. You might have to live somewhere like France.
People live in smallish houses.
Okay. I'm the creme brulee. I mean,
they have to ride trains to get places. No limo? Good heavens.
Isn't he tearing down his...
He seriously tried to use a story about France.
I know.
That he knows what it's like. Oh, God. Most people do their missionary work in, you know...
Zimbabwe.
Sub-Saharan Africa.
Peru.
Yes.
Yeah.
God. France.
Amongst the Incas.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Jiminy Christmas.
I'm going to run for president. I have to get somewhere
get out of here.
Somewhere really hard scrabble on my resume to say that I toughed it out like the people.
I toughed it out on the mean streets of Paris.
In the 17th arrondissement.
I mean, dear God, people.
Bonjour.
Went days before I found a good brie. What? Is it me? It's them, right? I mean, what?
I had to live on Croque Monsieur.
Everything he tries, he just makes it worse. It's just when you think you can't seem any more inauthentic.
Yeah.
You're like, oh no, don't talk about France.
No.
What?
I had to survive on radish sandwiches. Oh.
Oh my God, I don't know if you saw the movie Ratatouille, but I sometimes had to go. Okay, I don't know. I'm running out of French references.
Yes. France has rats. Who knew?
I mean, oh. Okay. Newt Gingrich. Oh, so yes, he did. Oh no, he didn't. Oh yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Perry went there with the cheating on your wife, and Newt Gingrich talked about. Of course, he's been saved.
I've made mistakes at times. I've had to go to God for forgiveness. I've had to seek reconciliation.
Sure.
But I'm also a 68-year-old grandfather, and I think people have to measure who I am now and whether I'm a person they can trust.
Sure. No, I'm too old to get it up. Look at my stomach. I haven't seen it in years. Decades.
I've been seeing a lot of pictures of Newt from like 1994, and comparing him to now, he's large. He's put on some weight.
Speaking of Alan Grayson, did I tell you that story? He had the best Newt Gingrich story of all time.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, he just can't pull his punches. He can't help it. He was on the House floor.
Right.
And someone said, oh, let me introduce you to Newt. And Alan Grayson was like, no, I don't really. I don't really want to. And they insisted.
Oh, really?
And so Alan Grayson says to him, because most people would just try to be polite, I guess.
Yeah.
Say, Alan Grayson's like, wow, you've gained a lot of weight. You used to be a lot thinner back when you were relevant.
Oh. Ouch.
This is before he was the front runner.
And how did Newt take that? Newt probably isn't used to being spoken to like that.
I'm going to make your head explode, frankly.
Yeah.
This is a couple of years ago on the House floor.
Oh, my God.
Oh, one of the 1,001 reasons I love Alan Grayson. Oh, like, all right, so you're going to make me meet him. Okay.
You're going to regret it.
All right. Newt trying to dig his way out of the Palestinian people being an invented people hole.
Is what I said factually correct? Yes.
Frankly, is it
historically true?
Frankly,
yes.
No.
Are we in a situation where every day rockets are fired into Israel while the United States, the current administration, tries to pressure the Israelis into a peace process? It's fundamentally the time for somebody to have the guts to stand up and say, enough lying about the Middle East.
I should just kill them all, frankly. That's what I think, frankly.
Well, going...
Besides, the Iraqi people are also an invented people because they carved that Mesopotamia.
Well, and
they put people together who had no business being together.
Yeah, and Israel was only carved out of...
Palestine in 1948.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, you could say that the Israelis are independent people if you're going by his definitions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was exactly it. This is the kind of stuff he says.
Yeah.
A Palestinian Authority's chief negotiator said, mark my words, these statements of Gingrich's will be ammunitions and weapons of the bin Ladens and the extremists for a long, long time.
Yep.
How would he know the difference, Gingrich snapped. So I guess he was calling him a terrorist, pretty much. Palestinian.
Idiot.
And then what he just said, it was what I said factually correct. Romney chided him, saying these are incendiary words in a place that is a boiling pot. Romney criticized Gingrich's use of the word invented. That, I think, was a mistake on the speaker's part. I think the speaker would suggest that as well. Gingrich stuck to his guns and visibly mouthed no. On the same show.
Wow.
No, I'm in it, frankly.
Iraq, Yugoslavia, and Czechoslovakia were all invented countries.
That's right.
Were one.
What? No, he literally was like, they're essentially, fundamentally, they're Arabs. They got other places they can go.
Yeah, frankly. Yeah, they're just Arabs. It's not like they're people. Frankly.
I mean, he literally is to the right of Netanyahu. Okay. All right, Mitt Romney.
We're going to tell the truth, but we're not going to throw incendiary words into a place which is a boiling pot.
Thank you for speaking some sense, Mitt Romney.
Oh, I spoke sense? Wow. How did that happen?
I bet myself $10,000 that I wouldn't. You see that there? Well, I did it. Okay, and then
I may have to go hide in a hovel in Paris.
Yeah, I know.
Please, don't make me go back there. Dear God, I've already lived the hardscrabble life.
In a one-bedroom apartment in Montmartre.
I mean, it had to have been the smallest flat in Cannes.
Have you seen Versailles? They haven't dusted that place in centuries. It's filthy.
He lived like Ewan McGregor in Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
With a narcoleptic Argentinian falling from his ceiling.
I thought you were going to say Trainspotting, which would be completely...
Well, that too.
Oh, dear God. Okay, Newt Gingrich with the zinger.
Let's be candid. The only reason you didn't become a career politician is you lost to Teddy Kennedy in 1994.
Snap. Now, wait a second. That's kind of whipped up
himself.
You'll get another response.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Do I get to go ahead?
Please.
No, and I'm just saying, I looked at it, I thought, you know, I'm a citizen, I've served the country in many ways, you're a citizen, you served the country in many ways, but it's a bit much. You'd have been a 17-year career politician by now if you'd won.
Wow. And then it took me, as I was saying, the entire debate to think of a zinger to come back with. And he was like, listen, my friend, if I had joined the NFL, I'd be a career football player now.
And if my aunt had, you know, then she'd be my uncle.
My aunt had a... She'd be my uncle. How's that for analogies? Okay. I learned that in a hovel in France. They are,
with
the analogies.
I had to live with upper middle class people. Ooh. The horror.
I mean, I tell you what, I totally lost my je ne sais quoi there for a while.
while pining after a courtesan who had tuberculosis.
This story about France just gets worse and worse. Yeah. In his desperate attempt to seem like a regular guy.
Yeah.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, what is this mess?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Jim, who said other countries care for their mentally ill? Making them debate on TV is just cruel.
Guy Lafleur.
No. Andy Borowitz, our buddy.
I saw that earlier. Very funny.
There he is. Our listeners have entirely too much free time. Joe writes, what I learned about Republicans from Remington Steele.
Wow.
I loved that show.
Stephanie Zimbalist.
Yes.
Right.
I went back when I had an agent.
Yes.
That's the only reason I think she took my call. She always thought that I was Stephanie Zimbalist. And then when she realized it was...
Oh, Stephanie Miller. Oh, no.
You and Stephanie Zimbalist had the same agent?
Yes.
How come Stephanie Zimbalist...
It's the only reason I ever got through. And then she realized it was
Stephanie,
me.
Stephanie, I got you a series.
Stephanie.
Oh, no.
Oh, the radio hack? No.
Yeah, how come Stephanie Zimbalist got successful and you were on radio?
Joe writes, Stephanie, so I was at home watching Remington Steele last night. Only my listeners can start a letter like that. And a gun-yielding thug was holding Doris Roberts and a couple others hostage, so Doris belted out, it was you who killed so-and-so, the thug responded. Yeah, I put the poison in his cup, but it ain't my fault he drank it. Oh. To me, that pretty much sums up the Republican mentality. Sociopathic, narcissistic, illogical, unsympathetic, remorseless, and impossible to reason with. Mm-hmm. What America needs is Pierce Brosnan and DeRaisin and smack all these bitches senseless. If only we could solve it in an hour, like Remington Steele. Mary in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Mary.
Hello. I went to the show Saturday night, and I just want to say we had a fabulous time.
Oh, thank you, honey.
I'm still swooning over House Sparks. He's big yummy.
Isn't he yummy?
he was yummy. Very yummy.
Yeah.
House Sparks. I just wanted to jump in on the mittens joke. He was so had to live so humbly in France, he had to eat snails.
Yeah. Hey, let him eat.
Chris Yankton emailed to that.
Oh, yes. Chris Yankton has emailed another sad chapter from Mitt Romney's hardscrabble life in France.
Paraphrasing from Joseph Conrad.
Yeah.
We took the steamer upriver along the Seine, deep into the heart of darkness. The savages in the Bordeaux jungles huddled in their chateau, eating homemade bread and non-artisan brie. Their grimy hands clutched cups of locally made wine. There was no Dom Perignon anywhere in sight. Romney's eyes took on a faraway look, and his face seemed to pale. The horror, he whispered. The horror.
Okay, thank you, Chris Yankton. Mitt Romney, trying to seem regular, talking about his hard life in France.
Yeah.
When he was a missionary. All right.
He did learn French, though.
Oh, well, there's something.
Let's go to Patty in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Patty, welcome. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Steph. I wanted to say that for the people that are saying that Palestinians are an invented people, Americans are the ultimate invented people.
Thank you.
And even in France, they all have health care.
Yes, exactly.
There's people listening on their Indian reservation right now saying, I'm sorry, what now? Who's an invented people?
Yeah.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, buddy.
Hey, Mama Mooks. You know, it's not like the crazy clown car. It's like the insane clown posse. I mean, there's two that just hit me. One is Lindsey Graham. The second is Rick Perry. Rick Perry, over the weekend when he tried to clean up his, like, didn't know the number on the Supreme Court.
Oh, God. Yeah, I already missed that one. There's eight of them, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Including that Justice Montemore.
He literally said this quote was, I don't know how eight came out of my mouth.
Because you're a dope.
Wow. You know, it's like that. And the second is, and it's more horrific, it's Lindsey Graham on Meet the Press yesterday compared a consumer protection agency to Stalin.
Right there.
Stalin. That guy killed somewhere between 3 and 50 million people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Consumer protection is to save people.
What kind of crap do these guys think you're saying?
Yeah, they all took the same bad analogy course, I guess, as Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that already. Did you hear that one? There's 8 Supreme Court justices, and I get to appoint one if you vote for me on November 12th when you turn 21. Woo!
He's William Hurt in broadcast news.
Exactly.
Can you name all 12 Supreme Court justices?
He called Sonia Sotomayor Justice Montemayor.
Right. We have we have that audio from the Des Moines Register.
Just another dopey Texas governor that speaks Spanglish.
Yeah.
She's that Hispanic-y one, right, Montemayor?
Inarguably. Activist judges, whether it was Montemayor.
Sotomayor.
Montemarino. Montemarino.
And then he.
Oh boy, not since the George Bush Spanglish.
Yeah. And then he went on Fox News Sunday to try and clean up after that.
She's, you know, the Fern one.
Yeah.
I don't have memorized all of the Supreme Court judges. Here's what I do know, that when I put an individual on, just like I've done in Texas, we got 9 Supreme Court justices in Texas.
Yeah.
They will be strict constructionists. They won't be activist judges. That's what Americans care about. They're not looking for a robot that can spit out the name of every Supreme Court justice, or that someone that's going to be perfect in every way.
Yeah, you're a little skosh bit short of perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've done. I've done appointed judges that know grammar good, and they're...
When I become president, I'm going to tell all 50 members of Congress to shove it.
Yeah.
Along with them 8
Supreme Court justices, including Montemur.
Montemar.
Stand back, Wallop. This haystack.
Boy.
I would also, by the way, I would abolish 3. Nobody help me.
I'm not a strong debater. I don't have a strong brain.
I'm a good Christian, though. I believe in the Father, Son.
And what's the third one?
Nobody help me. All right.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. I think we're just feeling festive. You know why.
Why?
Because Frothy the Santorum is still in the race.
A family classic returns this year with a very frothy holiday.
Frothy Santorum was a frothy mix of snow. With a corn cob here and a carrot there. And he looked just like some coal.
I hope you're having a great holiday season.
Where did you come from, Frothy?
Well, it's kind of a mix, but I mostly came from love.
You mean like when my daddy loves my mommy?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Well, I gotta go.
Don't leave, Frothy.
Bye, Frothy.
Frothy, rock, rock, Frothy, rock, rock. Look at Frothy go. Frothy, rock, rock, Frothy, rock, rock. Just like a lump of coal.
Frosty Santorum sounds a little like Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh.
Not since Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh has there been such a popular children's character.
Is this one going to be played on your last show?
Huh? What have you heard?
No, I'm just saying that on your last shows, you tend to break out the...
Sure. Do you think I'm already...
You're fired.
And I don't know it yet?
It could be. Who can say? Stay tuned next hour to see.
Yeah, there is a next hour.
58 minutes after the hour for the next, 2 minutes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
The Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you by Vulture's Picnic, the new book by Greg Palast, one of America's best investigative reporters and one of the funniest. You should read Vulture's Picnic. Get the first chapter free at vulturespicnic.org or gregpalast.com. I'm reading it right now.
Fabulous. All right, stephaniemiller.com, the website, sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal Show website. And Mike and Raleigh, of course, sends us the... apparently... Things were announced while I was gone that I had no idea about. We have a new series, I guess.
Meet the Stepstones. They're the sexy liberal family. From the town of Burbank, it's the greatest show in history. Let's ride with the moves that are sublime. See if some hot wine. When you're with the Stepstones, have a barfarkila blur time. Barfarkila blur time. You're like a boy in time.
Yabba dabba doo!
Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. That's fabulous. All right, and thanks for all the kind comments on the Fort Lauderdale Show on Sexy Liberal Facebook, sexyliberal.com, etc. And we sent some pics. Simon sent some pics we put up, right?
Yes.
From Fort Lauderdale?
Yep.
Attach a few photos from the South Florida Sexy Liberal Show, including a great shot of Steph with her new paper calendar. Someone gave me a ginormous paper calendar. Awesome.
In the picture, you're pointing at a date, and I'm like, am I supposed to know that date for a reason?
No, I was just random.
Okay.
I was randomly pointing just to make you nervous.
Okay, thanks.
It's an amazing show and honor meeting you, John Hall and Alan Grayson. My sides are still sore from laughing. And I do have the only cell phone in Florida that's been used to tweet Steph's thing, which is quite an honor.
Hmm.
I know. At this point, people are like, who hasn't seen that? Whatever. Let's see.
I haven't.
Oh, really? Well, I don't even need to tweet that. You're right here. That's what commercial breaks are for.
That's right.
Lisa, Steph, your performance for Lauderdale was fabulous. Hope you and Lisa enjoy the lamp. She made a lamp for me. What do you two do for me? Nothing. It's a beautiful lamp.
We fill in for you.
Giving you all the joy and humor you give to me, so it goes without saying you light up my life. Oh, that was a corny joke. That's cute. Patrice writes, I had to say several times, Fort Louise Lauderdale, because they're filthy, filthy people. Stephanie, my husband and I saw your show Saturday. All we can say is thank you, thank you, thank you. What an incredible show. We see comedy shows everywhere we go and can't remember enjoying one more. We listened to you for over 7 years and the last four on podcasts because you're not on any station in Florida. I know, because there's no...
market for
no.
what we do, apparently.
That's what they told us at the sold-out show.
Yeah.
At the Parker Playhouse. You saved us from deep depression during the Bush years, kept us steady during the Iraqi Obama years. You and everyone on the show are our heroes. As you can imagine, I was thrilled to be sitting in the second row when you climbed over the seats. Be careful, Mama. And I have my usual bruises, by the way, and I think I'll definitely need a couple new hips for Christmas.
Oh, boy.
And gave both of us a long hug. Both of us, I was so overwhelmed, I started to cry. Thank you, Val and John. An evening we'll never forget. Patrice and her husband, who I apparently groped.
All I want for Christmas are my two front hips.
All right, so Portland up first in January in 2012, then Philly, then Phoenix, then Chicago. Albuquerque just announced on Friday.
Chicago or Albuquerque.
Yeah, Madison. Yeah, exactly. Madison in April, Minneapolis in May, Boston in June. And this just announced last week, in fact.
In a world where everyone is going gaga for sexy liberal laughs, One Tour is crossing the nation to bring intelligent, progressive comedy to you. Nominated for 4 Pollstar Touring Awards, including Best Tour, Best New Tour, and Best Lead Comedy Performer, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to Los Angeles.
On Saturday, July 28th, Stephanie Miller and her band of sexy liberal players will perform live at the Pantages Theater in Hollywood, California. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, at all Ticketmaster retail outlets, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the proceeds from the evening's events will be donated to the Trevor Project.
Be swift and get your tickets now. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Don't miss your chance to experience liberal comedy history in the making.
Yay!
Yay, the Pantages, excited.
Yes. Oh, by the way, Leslie wrote, hang on a second. No, that's not the one. Hang on. No, Anastasia said, bought my 2 tickets for L.A. Sexy Liberals on Wednesday, helped the Pantages reach their single one-day record ticket sales. They reached their one-day record tickets going fast.
Wow.
And Check this out. It's the gift that keeps on giving, Sexy Liberal. I also bought two tickets for the Philly show for my sister and her wonderful husband. They're stuck in a very red part of Philly burb, so I know they're in dire need of Sexy Liberal fun.
Huh.
Like your mom, my parents are hardcore Fox-watching Republicans, although they do not have a lovebird that masturbates to Glenn Beck. I can get them one for Christmas. My mom did try to make my sister take down her Obama lawn sign, though. She did not. We poor San Diegan stepchildren miss having you on our local station. KLSD was a wonderful station with a 4 share in its heyday.
Yep.
Till they turned it into a sports station with less than a 1.
Yeah.
That never happens, does it?
Why do they hate capitalism?
Since we no longer have a progressive station, I had to get creative. I started a meetup group for fans of Stephanie Miller. Check it out. Meetup.com/San Diego Sexy Liberals.
Wow.
I'd love to have more Stephanie Miller fans to our ranks. Give us a shout out. Anastasia in San Diego. Love to. Thank you.
Regarding historian Newt and his claim that the Palestinians are made-up people.
Invented people.
Listener Tim said sent me a Middle East map from 1914. Funny, I don't see Israel mentioned, or Iraq, or Iran. I do, however, see a Palestine.
Yeah.
Oops.
And you look at the map, and let's see, there's Persia, there's Mesopotamia.
Right.
There's, oh, look at that, Palestine.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for that. Oh, this is the Leslie one. Leslie, the former official phone sex operator of the Stephanie Miller Show, bling. Uh-huh. Listening to this last week's Stephcast, I just came to the part where you said everything that Sexy Liberal gives money to wins. Yeah, recalling Walker, that's going to win. You gave money to marriage equality in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It won. The right wing, despite their attempt to shut us down.
You should learn not to compete with me. I always win.
Yeah, exactly. You are... You are correct. Leslie says, Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. P.S. I've attached a kitten riding a Segway. What? I'm going to be distracted for the rest of the show. Oh, kitty, no. That's the chimpanzee Segway. No, no, kitty. Mike in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Miss Miller. Y'all keep dumping on Rick Perry, but, you know, he's accomplished something that in the long history of Texas governors, only he has done.
What's that?
And that is he has made George W. Bush look like a reasonable man of average intelligence.
There you go. Exactly right, Mike. That's what I said. George Bush without the intellect or humility.
Bring it.
What?
Oops.
Chimpanzee.
Oh, no. Oh, no, kitty.
No Segway, chimpanzee.
Rick Perry riding on a Segway. Thank you. Shirley. Shirley in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Shirley.
Good morning, my babies. I love you with all my heart.
I love you back. Go ahead.
Does anybody want to talk about the fact that the last endorsement, that he held it off for a while, was Mitt Romney to killing Medicare? Everybody on that stage wants to kill Medicare.
Yep.
And also, my husband brought up the possibility of Calissa being our first lady. Did she not know he was married at the time?
Yes, I guess so. Well, you know, her eyes weren't open then, but now they are.
Yeah, they're way open.
now they never close.
I'm watching you.
This is the Newt Gingrich that Jim was talking about.
We've had an invented Palestinian people, who are in fact Arabs, and were historically part of the Arab community.
I'm a historian.
And they had a chance to go many places. And, for a variety of political reasons, we have sustained this war against Israel now since the 1940s. I think it's tragic.
Palestine was there before Israel.
Yes.
You idiot.
Some historian he is.
I can't read a freaking map.
That sounds like the kind of historian a mortgage company would be dopey enough to hire.
Yeah.
I love this. Gawker, a brief guide to conservatives freaking out over Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
It did not seem possible that Newt Gingrich, star of the biggest political flame out of the 90s, would find himself weeks away from the Republican presidential nominating contest, leading by double digits. But thank Allah he is. Go, Newt. This is the best thing that's ever happened. Now let's watch some elite conservative pundits squirm. Squirm, David Brooks. David Brooks writes, as nearly everyone who has ever worked with him knows, he would severely damage conservatism and the Republican Party if nominated. Peggy Noonan of the Wall Street Journal.
Sounds like a ringing endorsement to me.
Said those who know him fear or hope that he will be true to form in one respect, who will continue to lose to his number one longtime foe, Newt Gingrich. He is a human hand grenade. He walks around with his hand on the pin saying, watch this. Yeah, I had I missed this because I was sexy liberaling on Saturday night.
Sure.
But the latest thing it was cheered was child labor. The audience gave their loud seal of approval to the idea of removing restrictions on child labor.
Yes!
Woo! Doggy! Yeah, that's right. Get her done! Get her done, 5-year-old!
We hate weekends!
Yeah, Newt Gingrich, of course, has been suggesting poor children should be in the workforce. He has said janitorial jobs are appropriate. A lot of the idea of five-year-olds working, in fact.
Yeah.
Wow. Lazy little bastages.
Go plow a field. Make yourself useful.
Go work in a dangerous factory where you'll lose some limbs.
He said...
Lock it off.
If you take one half of the New York janitors who are paid more than teachers...
Frankly,
I'm not sure that's probably true. I'm going to guess that's not true. You take half those janitors, you could give lots of poor kids a work experience in the cafeteria and school library in the front office, lots of different things. And, I'll stand by the idea young people ought to learn how to work. With that, the Republicans erupted with applause.
And then the janitors are going to be hobos and drug addicts, frankly. Which would be fine with me, frankly. Because then we can put them in prison, frankly, and really put them to work.
Debtor's prison. Yay,
yes.
That'll be the next thing that'll be cheered.
Yeah. For five-year-olds.
Debtor's prison for five-year-olds.
Union workhouses, frankly? Are there no prisons?
All right. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Well, shake it up, baby, now. Shake it up, baby. Twist and shout. Twist and shout. Come on, baby, now. Come on, baby. Come on and work it on out. Work it on out.
Ooh.
That's that new group everyone's talking about.
23 minutes after the hour. Well, you know, Chris, the
I say they're a panic. Sorry.
Hmm?
The Beatles, they're a panic.
Yes.
Yes.
Despite my being drunk and disorganized most of the time, and
right.
You being hugely incompetent, only 30 Albuquerque VIP tickets remain for March 31st, which was announced by accident when I was gone on Friday.
Wow.
But I would hurry and get your tickets now for March 31st.
Holy crap! Really?
Yes. We didn't even plan that correctly, and yet
we don't have a promo for it either.
Shana hasn't even gotten a promo yet. We're succeeding despite our own incompetence.
You just said Albuquerque, and suddenly it sold out.
Yeah. Gone. Okay.
Oh boy.
Well, Santa Fe sold out in like a day or two. So
yeah, two shows.
You know what I'm saying? New Mexico bitches be crazy.
Yeah.
Ed in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ed.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Isn't everyone basically every nationality, every country, every nation's borders all invented?
Well, that's what Bette Midler says in that song. If you're up high enough.
Yeah. All our religions, all of them. You know.
Yes.
Unless you're an island.
Otherwise, we're just a bunch of nomads wandering the earth aimlessly.
That's right. All right, thank you. I can't believe I just made a Bette Midler song. Yeah. We're blue and green and something. Mm-hmm. There's no borders.
Yeah, from Bette Midler's maudlin period.
Is there a period that wasn't maudlin?
Yes, when she...
I love all of it.
When she did Miss Otis Regrets and that sort of thing? Oh, that wasn't maudlin.
I don't want to hear about Bette Midler's periods.
Okay, all right. Jim Louise. Hey, didn't we just hear right where there's no such thing as income inequality?
Yeah.
Did you know the Walmart heirs have the same net worth as the bottom 30% of Americans? All Americans.
Wow.
Wow. Just the Walmart heirs. Yeah. Okay.
Huh. That's a lot of cheaply made Chinese labor.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. This is just making me happy. You know, what with Herman Cain gone, Ron Paul is wild card. So, you know, if he does a third, there's been speculation in Politico on if he's going to do a third-party run.
Right.
Oh, please. I beg you, little
God,
tiny, floaty old man handed your giant cartoon suit, please. You know what? I'll even make them stop short-sheeting your suit if you run as a third independent. According to Politico, it would enable Obama to carry two states he lost in 2008. It would secure his hold on the following states he won in 2008. But Republicans had hoped to take back next year. They list eight states. At a minimum, a Paul candidacy would force the Republican nominee to spend time and money in places he otherwise might be able to economize on both. Oh, please.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. And it would just be entertaining as well. all right. And then we were talking about Michelle Bachmann. Bless her heart. You know what? I have a feeling that Marcus came up with this, and when he picked out her outfit.
Mm.
Okay, we'll just say we'll put the two men together and we'll call them.
If you look at Newt Romney, they were for the illegal immigration problem. And if you look at Newt Romney, they were for the $700 billion bailout. You just heard Newt Romney is also with Obama on the issue of the payroll extension.
She's a panic.
The payroll extension?
That's so clever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she. That was her. That was her. God bless her. She's still in it.
Call it Glove Lizard.
Would you like the fun fact checked on the Republican debate on Saturday night? When Michelle Bachmann accused Newt Gingrich of once supporting a cap-and-trade program to curb global warming, he huffily denied it and told her she should get her facts straight. Actually, she did. See, things are coming around full circle. Well, now Michelle Bachmann's the only one making sense in a debate. As recently as 2007, Gingrich strongly supported the idea. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, that one's good. I'm just going fact by fact. Romney had said, let's not forget, we only had one president who's ever cut Medicare for seniors in the country. It's Barack Obama.
Yep.
No.
No.
Obama is the third president to sign cuts in Medicare that were passed by Congress. George H.W. Bush won. Obama's cutting about 6% of spending for Medicare over 10 years. Clinton and a Republican Congress cut 12%.
Yep.
So that would be patently.
By first, I meant third.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, so, by the way, the bet, the $10,000 bet thing, at issue is a modification Romney made to his 2010 book, No Apology, when it came out in paper book. There is little question that Romney altered the words to disassociate himself more clearly from Obama's plan, health care plan, but the book and its excise passion did not call for Romney's plan to go national. So, technically, Rick Perry would lose that bet.
Oops.
Ron Paul said we dumped the debt on the American people through TARP funding as well as the Federal Reserve. Actually, the TARP program, first of all, proposed by Bush, passed by Congress, nearly all the money has been paid back with interest. Most economists credit the program with keeping the financial system from freezing up and helping to prevent the worst recession in 30 years from becoming another Great Depression. Oh, and by the way, the Federal Reserve does not operate on taxpayer money and does not receive any operating funds from the Treasury. In fact, it makes money every year from its banking operation and turns over profits to the Treasury. Let's see. Gingrich said in 1993, in fighting Hillary care, virtually every conservative saw the mandate as a less dangerous future than what Hillary was trying to do. That's actually a lie. In recent years, including his 2008 book, Gingrich endorsed the idea of making people buy health insurance. That's a mandate. Blah, blah, blah. Romney said, one, make sure our employer tax rates are competitive with other nations. They're not now. We're the highest in the world. Japan's corporate tax rate is actually the highest in the world. Ours is 35%, but few companies pay the full rate because of loopholes and tax breaks. Not available in many other countries, but nice try, man. That's got to be a tough job fact-checking a Republican debate. That's just poor PolitiFact. They're just heads exploding everywhere. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
New York is famous for its theater, but there's many different levels. There's Broadway, off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway, homeless people screaming in the park, and then below that,
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, there he was, Mitch McLiplis on Fox News Sunday, explaining how the Republicans aren't really just for the rich.
Look, we're not here to defend high-income people in this bipartisan package that we're just discussing. We make sure that millionaires don't get unemployment and don't get food stamps. This is a very balanced package.
Oh,
it doesn't do anything for millionaires. In fact, it goes after them on the benefit side.
Oh, my God.
That's the biggest problem in America. Yeah. Millionaires accidentally getting food stamps. Oh, you are an idiot. You
Oh, God.
We prohibited millionaires from getting leprechauns' pots of gold. So it's very balanced.
Hi, I'm Mitt Romney. I nearly had to get food stamps when I was living my hard scrabble life as a missionary in France. Okay.
Wow.
Every time they try to seem not out of touch or not for the rich, they say something even worse.
We're not for the rich. We don't let them get food stamps.
We do not let wealthy people get unicorns that fart glitter. That's strictly prohibited. So, see, it's very balanced.
Do you know the problem with leprechauns? I'm trying to get leprechauns that fart gold dust. God. We're not letting that happen anymore. Leprechauns are an invented people.
If you look at this map of 1914, you'll see no leprechauns.
There's no leprechauns anywhere in Ireland. They don't have their own county.
It's a Shonda.
Oh, boy.
It's a Shonda.
It's a Shonda. Well, at least he finally admitted, one of them admitted it. Perry admits his tax plans slams low-income people and lets the wealthy pay nothing.
Oh, well then, okay, right. They are for the wealthy.
Mm. Mr. McCall said, shut up.
He has released a so-called flat tax plan, as you know, would institute a 20% income tax on everyone. Mm. While completely eliminating all taxes on investment income, this, of course, would mean a huge tax increase for those Americans who pay less than 20% now and an immense tax cut for those on the top of the income scale.
Hmm.
Perry's plan would cut taxes for millionaires by nearly $500,000 each year. Meanwhile, a family making $10,000 to $20,000 would pay $215 more under the plan, while a family making between $20,000 and $30,000 would pay nearly $500 more. Good job. Nicely done.
That seats balance.
Perry essentially admitted this analysis was correct, affirming a low-income person with no deductions would pay the full 20%, while someone living entirely off investments could conceivably pay nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. How's that?
I'm not a smart man.
No. No, you're not.
Oops.
He should have consulted with the 8 Supreme Court justices before he said that.
I could have Montemone.
See, some people are rooting for Gingrich, or some people are rooting for Romney on the left. I say we go with Rick Perry. It would just be Rick Perry. Vote for me on November 12th. And the whole thing is...
Sure.
Maybe he thought the Latina didn't count.
I'm not saying that Montemur isn't important. What's her name?
Montessori.
Montessori? Oh, God.
I don't...
Montessoris.
You're not going to believe this. What time is it? 37 minutes. Do you have to?
Yeah.
Mitt Romney has flip-flopped on something, Jim. You're not going to.
Kidding me.
Good heavens.
What?
That's it.
He had previously said the Iraq withdrawal an astonishing failure. Now it's appropriate.
An appropriate astonishing failure.
When President Obama announced in October he was ordering all U.S. troops out of Iraq by the end of the year, Mitt Romney's campaign issued a statement saying his decision was an astonishing failure.
Hmm.
Today, during an interview with the Des Moines Register, Romney backtracked, which I know is stunning.
Did I say astonishing? I meant appropriate failure.
Immediately after criticizing Obama for not keeping 30,000 troops in Iraq, he said withdrawal is the right move.
What?
It's the right move in a wrong way.
That's not what he said before. I'm so confused.
With regards to Iraq, he said, of course, we're following the Bush timeline. Yes. With one exception, that is the how many troops President Bush and I believe others anticipate we would have as an ongoing force. We were unable to negotiate a status of forces agreement to allow the 10, 20, 30,000 troops to remain, which I think was a failure. But is the wind down in Iraq appropriate? Yes. Once again,
junk.
Yeah.
Why do we need to leave troops there? We don't. We're done. We're out by the end of the year. Sorry. Yeah.
In fact, President Obama's meeting with al-Maliki right now about that.
Mark, there it is. There's the headline marking the end of the Iraq War.
Yep.
Yahoo.
Mm-hmm. I think it's premature. We've only been there 150 years. Woof.
Oh, boy. Hey, you know what? Remember earlier this year, Eric Cantor, well-known douche nozzle, made a series of major missteps when he decided the House Republicans would not release disaster relief funds unless it included offsetting spending elsewhere after the deadly Missouri tornado, a hurricane that hit the East Coast, and an earthquake in Virginia.
In his own district.
Yes, his own district.
Yeah.
Cantor was roundly criticized. A look back to the 104th Congress revealed the origins of the idea. Newt Gingrich.
Oh, great.
He was the original douche nozzle that thought of that idea. When the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing occurred that year, Gingrich held disaster relief hostage unless he received offsetting spending cuts.
Did he really?
Everything old is new again. That was the original asshat that thought of that.
That's evil.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
This hits us out here. President Clinton asked Congress for an extra $4.9 billion in emergency aid to pay for lingering repairs from the Northridge earthquake out here in Southern California. And Gingrich once again said, we're going to have to find a way to offset that. So it's, you know,
offset disaster relief.
Yes.
That's not what disaster relief is for.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Not surprisingly, Democrats are more encouraged about Obama in 2012. You see, I've got one that has to talk him down off the ledge. He tricked us. We're never going to get out of Iraq. Okay, we are out of Iraq. Never mind. He gave us up, sold us up the river. Don't ask, don't tell. Never. Okay, stop.
Unemployment is ticking down.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
exactly.
We're creating jobs.
Jim just said something positive. Right.
Stop it. You naysayer.
Was it 3 hours
You're
of relentless Obama
You're a naysayer
Obama
about
bashing?
Jim Ward. How dare you speak ill of Jim Ward?
Democrats
You're
encouraged.
You're a naysayer.
You're such a naysayer.
About Obama in 2012. Settle down now. Mama's only been away a day. rank and file Democrats say they are going more optimistic. And that's tough to do.
Yeah. A combination of optimism and altruism. They're optimistic.
They're optimistic.
Or altruistic.
That's what I meant to say.
Sure.
I coined a new liberal word. Okay.
It's your Christmas gift to the world.
Thank you. They cite his tougher, more populist tone and what they view as a chaotic primary fight against among Republicans, you think? Several pointed to Obama's speech last week in Kansas, where he argued the middle class had been under duress for the past decade, and economic policies must give everyone a fair shot and a fair share.
Not just anywhere in Kansas, where Teddy Roosevelt spoke on the same subject.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with Kansas now, huh?
Nope.
Dick Durbin said what he said in Kansas brought us back down to basics. He said this is a make-or-break moment for the middle class in America. Yeah, I mean, I think he's crystallized what, you know, the Occupy movement has been about. And just the We Are the 99% movement, in my opinion, started in Madison.
Yeah,
started before
absolutely.
Occupy.
And
yeah.
Actually, the best thing that could happen for progressives was Republicans taking the House back, because it showed the world how incredibly awful these people are.
Yeah. It's like, okay.
It's like, wow.
How'd you like it?
We did what? We voted those guys in?
How was that dopey thing working out for you? You like the dopey thing? How's the dopey thing going? I love this. NPR did the Republicans and business groups unable to find one job creator who opposes a tax on millionaires.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, they keep repeating this talking point. As we know, Republicans again shot down an extension of the payroll tax break for middle-class families due to their objection to a 1.9% tax increase on the top 0.2% of income earners. Naturally, Republicans recycling their claim about the job creators. They're so fragile. Don't scare them. NPR put out a request to Republican offices and business groups that have been lobbying against the surtax to find business owners who'd be affected. Unsurprisingly, Republican leadership and the business groups came up empty.
Oh.
Nada. Nobody.
Not a single one.
See how rare they are? They may be an invented people.
Hey.
Job creators. No one can find one. They're so rare.
That's what it is.
They're like Loch Ness monsters. NPR requested help from numerous Republican congressional offices, including House and Senate leadership. They were unable to produce a single millionaire job creator for us to interview, so we went to the business groups that have been lobbying against the surtax. Again, 3 days after putting in a request, none of them was able to find anyone for us to talk to. NPR found several business owners who'd be affected, who insisted the tax wouldn't hurt hiring at all. It's not in the top 20 things we think about when we're making a business hire, said one business owner. It didn't even make it on the agenda.
Oh.
Indeed, business owners have long been telling Republicans the marginal tax change makes zero difference in hiring. I mean, that's the thing. It's just they keep repeating this.
Move to the job creators! The job creators! Okay, you're not buying it? Okay.
Okay. All right. By the by, who even knew Clark Gable had a grandson?
What?
Huh? Turns out he's...
Rightly, I don't give a damn.
He's a little bit of a douche nozzle.
Oh,
the grandson of actor Clark Gable...
Who could have seen that coming?
...has pled guilty to pointing a green laser at a Los Angeles police helicopter. It flew over Hollywood. Wow, and they do give a damn about that, frankly.
Wait a minute, as he flew over Hollywood?
Wait, no,
that affects me.
A police helicopter flew over Hollywood. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Clark Gable's little douche nuzzly grandson pointed a laser.
Yeah, I don't want helicopters crashing into my place. Thank you, and please,
you know,
and
yeah.
Very much.
Let's see if the pilot can see. I'll bet you the pilot can't see now. All right.
Frankly, my dear, we should got your tubes tied.
They should have. Hey, I mentioned this Friday. I don't understand why I don't have a rider for Sexy Liberal. Adele, who I'm up against for Best New Tour.
Yeah.
No North American beer in her rider.
Smart girl.
Yes. You have to have good quality European beer.
There is some European beer that is complete crap.
Mm-hmm. She had to cancel all of her remaining tour dates, not, like Kathleen Madigan said, because I punched her in the throat. I am not that competitive. She had a vocal cord surgery.
Yes.
And
we hope she gets better because she has an incredible voice.
Yes, indeed. She requests, this is her rider, she requests 2 bottles of the very best quality red wine. I'll take any crap, they know that.
Yeah.
12 bottles of the best quality European lager, blah, blah, blah. North American beer, not acceptable.
Huh.
North American wine, however.
Also, she needs an assortment of chewing gum, a small plate of freshly made individually wrapped sandwiches, which must not contain tomatoes, vinegar, chili, or citrus fruit.
Oh, dear.
Look, this doesn't work. See, this guy's trying, it's all round, and it doesn't work. It's a catastrophe. Huh.
Following a concert, her tour bus must be stocked with bite-sized chocolate bars, including Twix, Aero, Milky Way, Mars, organic muesli, and six cereal bars.
Muesli.
Can I have Kim Jong-il call and give my list of demands at some of my venues?
The muesli.
Stephanie would like.
And lager.
And the lager.
And don't forget that
European lager.
Don't forget that kind of... What's a log of...
Ragavirin.
Yeah, I need that backstage. Single
malt scotch.
Yeah, I need that backstage.
You don't drink scotch.
No. When was the last time you drank scotch?
Do you dare me to have Jim call my next venue in that voice? This is Miss Miller's rider.
This is Miss Miller's rider.
Calling Portland. Yeah.
In Portland. Portland, Oregon. City by the Bay.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Back with the waning moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is waning,
yeah.
As a matter of fact.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Boy, do I miss disco. Stephanie Miller.
Not. I hear it's making a comeback.
51 on my show it is. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim in Portland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Steph. I realize Adele may not like American beer, but when you're coming to Portland, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's over 30 microbrews in the city of Portland alone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bring Mama a Heffenweisen. Yeah.
No. Actually, what you want to do is you want to go down, and I'm trying to show for him, obviously. There's a place called Hair of the Dog.
Oh, awesome. I've never been to Portland. I'm really excited. January 7th, Sexy Liberal. We're very excited.
Well, I'm in the process of trying to get my tickets, and if I do it, I will definitely buy the first round.
All right. Awesome.
For you.
Heffenweisen with an orange, please. Thank you. Okay, Joe.
An orange?
All right. You put an orange and a lemon in it.
Well, lemon. Mm-hmm.
Oh, what is the malted liquor? What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer!
How can you love it? Beer! Makes me think I'm a man.
Yes.
Beer! I could kiss and hug it, beer! But I'd rather chug it. Beer! Cut my belly out to here. Beer! I could not refuse it. Beer! I could really use a beer. Beer, beer.
Yeah, you're going down, Adele. Snotty, no North American beer
she's
singer.
She's talking about the industrial beers.
Yeah,
you know,
like Budweiser.
I got to take her down for new tour, and I got to take Lady Gaga down for best tour.
Although we do
going
like Sam,
down, Lady Gaga.
We do like Sam Adams here at the Stephanie Miller Show because they sponsor the Stephanie Miller newscast.
Sam Adams is great.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Love it. Vicky in Albuquerque, Vicky in Albuquerque writes, Albuquerque, here you come. Yeah, imagine my delight and surprise. I opened my Sexy Liberal email and saw your Albuquerque, March 31st. Hurry, tickets almost. I think VIP tickets are almost gone. I was certain after the drunken confusion that was the Santa Fe Q&A, we would never see you again in the land of enchantment. Oh, that was an awesome Q&A. Fear not, my queen of comedy. We will be just as drunk, but we have way more oxygen, not to mention three times the seating. Also, my girlfriend and I were so busy acting out our sexy liberalness in a Santa Fe hotel room, we missed most of John's act.
Oh,
this
really?
Will save us the trouble of kidnapping him and forcing him to perform his entire act in our living room. Although I really think he would have liked the leather we had picked out for him to wear. Vicky in Albuquerque, who's about ready to get her freak on with John Fugis, I guess. Yikes. Mm. All right.
Okay.
Yes, come on, be on time. Please, do save the sexy liberalness for after the show. All right. Oh, a couple more. A celebrity stack delisted. This is how you know times are bad, not just here, Jim. You know the recession is real when even the queen gets a pay freeze.
Oh, good heaven. We are not amused.
No, she cannot be amused at all. Gawker writing, the sport of extreme couponing is calling the queen's name because her pay for being the queen has been frozen. And since 2015, she'll only be given $50 million of taxpayer money to pay for travel expenses and palace upkeep. NPR reporting that is getting so dire, the queen is considering renting out rooms at St. James Palace during the Olympics next year. St. James is turning into a flop house. Can you just imagine coming down the stairs late at night to drink tap water from the kitchen faucet and you see your landlady, Queen Elizabeth, sipping canned wine from bargain booze while knitting mittens out of her corgi's hair to sell on eBay? Oh, dear.
We are looking for roommates.
She's on Craigslist.
Beefcake.
The taxpayers of Britain give the Queen $50 million of their own money every year.
Yes, and your point would
yes,
be...
Yes, and?
Wow.
Only $50 million.
That's quite a racket they've got going on there.
That's I'll why bet Ireland Mitt Romney, is
independent. Yeah, exactly.
I'll bet Mitt Romney $10 million. I can seem more in touch than he does. Oh, hey, speaking of frozen, Larry King wants to be cryogenically frozen.
Now?
Which I think is a great... It's the only way I'll ever get back on TV. If you freeze him and bring him back and then he gets another TV show, boom!
Doctor, hello!
I'm back. Yeah, he wants to be cryogenic. All right. What?
That's fine.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Wow, this is somewhat upsetting. The most bizarre use for Michael Jackson's old hair ever. Again, Gawker brings us this
Wait,
information.
He had hair? I thought that was a wig.
No, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow, all right. This, I gotta say, is the most bizarre thing I've ever read. Today, the gambling website, OnlineGamblingPal.com, dropped $10,871.
That sounds like a virus and Trojan horse magnet.
Yeah.
OnlineGamblingPal.com. Good God.
They paid over $10,000 for a sample of entombed pop star Michael Jackson's old hair. They saw the hairball's potential as a roulette ball, turning Michael Jackson's old hair into a ball that will roll around on the table, winning and losing people money is, quote, an appropriately unique way to immortalize a small part of a truly peerless entertainer, states their website. Indeed, considering Jackson dedicated his life to entertaining millions, the prospect of this very special ball captivating
area.
Crowds at roulette tables seems like a fitting use.
In any other area.
You know, I bet you the guy that owns the show,
yeah,
Mr. Potter, I bet you he's already thought of, like, selling a ball of my, like, you know, lady hair when I'm gone.
Your ball of hair is worth more dead than alive.
Ball of lady hair?
Ball of my sexy liberal lady hair. I bet you he's been on the phone with OnlineGamblingPal.com. Would you like a roulette ball of Stephanie Miller's lady hair when she's gone, which should be soon because this tour is going to kill her?
Stop saying the words lady hair. Good God.
I'm telling you, he's thought of it. He has already pre-sold a ball of my lady hair when I'm gone.
Oh, that's good.
This is good, because...
This tour is going to kill her any second. I got to think ahead. Reminds me of those late-night infomercials.
When you go in your hyperbaric chamber...
Hi, I'm Grim Reaper, or as you probably know me better, Dead Man Talking. You know what I already know, that death sells. That's why today, and today only, for only $59.95, you could own the entire Dead Celebrity Collection. That's right, you'll get the John Denver Musical Model Airplane.
Talking about...
Mother Teresa, Mrs. Potato Head Leprosy Doll. Push the belly button, then watch the head pop up. That's right, every limb is detachable. But wait, there's more. Think you'd like to own one of Princess Di's gowns one day? Well, then you're going to need the plastic Princess Diana bulimia finger. That's right, you'll get an actual replica of Princess Diana's finger to stick down your throat.
All right.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. All right, you know
That's
what?
Where we got fired.
Yeah.
They did not have very good standards a few years ago.
No.
Late night infomercials. My goodness.
What about the Frothy Santorum bit we played earlier from Mike and Raleigh?
Shh. We'll play Frothy the Santorum again tomorrow. Okay, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.